I want to welcome you to Dream Chasers Radio with me, your host, Yaga Diamond. What's up, peoples? How you doing? It is a great day, and I'm so very excited to be here. We have amazing authors on this show, and this is just one more show with an amazing author, but not just authors. Father and daughter authors. That's amazing. So please tell us who you are and we're going to talk about the book a little later.
My name is Tara Vicinski. I am a theater enthusiast by trade. I have my degree in performance. So novel writing is a bit of a new outlet for me. My dad approached me with an idea and knew I enjoyed writing and said, what do you think about co-authoring this? And actually, I think at first he wanted me to do it all, but I was like, let's do this together, Dad. And we had a lot of fun talking through the story, and it was great to get to check in with Dad because we live, fairly far apart, about 8 hours apart. So we don't get to see each other very often, but it gave us something to talk about and dream about and work towards.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. And Richard, tell us about yourself.
Yes. Oh, well, I have a website. We make children's furniture. That's been most of my life. So I'm late to the writing. But I have an Amazon book called What Jerusalem, New Jerusalem Really Looks Like. That's in the last two chapters of Revelation that describes that. That's on Amazon. And I also write Substack. So I've been, in my later years writing.
Wow.
Other than that, I still run a business, kind of, and I'm an inventor.
An inventor?
Yes.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Of what?
Yeah, my invention is in the name of your name, the Dream. It's a dream machine, and it is what it is. Some people have tried it. In many years past, it's a buoyancy motor.
Okay.
Works on air bubbles.
Ooh. Oh.
Anyway,
I've never heard of that.
Wow. If people buy the book, they'll know how to get in touch with me to ask about it.
Well, we're just definitely going to have to do that. Definitely. But we're here to talk about the bone of Elisha. Tell me about this. How did
Elisha?
Elisha.
Yeah, Elisha.
Oh, Elijah.
Yeah,
I'm so
Elisha.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Elisha was the prophet after Elijah.
Right.
And and everybody, most people know about Elijah. The stories are, more sensational. But Elisha received a double portion, and in the Bible did twice the numbers of miracles that Elijah did. And what stood out to me, what started this to make a biblical fiction, was that as the story goes, the bones of Elisha was about 800 BC and was buried, and around 700 BC, a warrior was killed, and a shallow grave dug, and when he was thrown into it on the bones of Elisha, he came back to life.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the kernel, of the story and what started it, which would be the fiction would be, what if the warrior picked up the bone, the thigh bone of Elisha, and then the story starts from there. So, Elisha is not really a character in the book. He's there's references to him, but really the character of Elisha is his thigh bone.
Right.
That's the bone of Elisha.
Yeah. You got to excuse me. I speak two and a half languages. So sometimes I
pronounce things a little bit wrong. So Elijah, you know, okay, so how did you get involved in this?
Dad just called me with this idea, and as we started talking about, you know, creating a book, we thought, well, it might be kind of interesting to have a then and now approach. So we have a modern day story running concurrently with, you know, the story of the Moabite warrior who came back to life, and how those two stories are interwoven around this, you know, miraculous artifact. Mm. So the book goes back and forth between the two time periods, and of course there's correlations between the characters. And, you know, the modern day story was basically what I wrote, and Dad wrote the sections that were set in the past, right, in the time of the Moabite Raider.
Right. Wow. So this isn't like fact. This is more like a fiction. It kind of picks up the story from a fact and kind of transforms it into a fiction. What is this? I mean, is this biblical fiction? And I mean, would it be considered biblical?
Yeah. There's no record of any bone of Elisha being found. So it's biblical fiction in the sense that this Moabite warrior picked up the thigh of Elisha as a weapon, mm-hmm, if he needed it. He was a warrior. So what we have is the warrior and then the bone of Elisha being passed down through generations to the present day. So there's two characters. You know, one is a descendant of the warrior, and I would like to say it would be a perfect role for Mark Wahlberg, uh-huh, to play both of those roles.
Cool. Wow. So the main characters in the book include a 700 BC Moabite warrior and a present day descendant of the said warrior, who would be,
that's correct.
So he would be the ideal person. Why dual roles?
It would be a challenge, and Mark Wahlberg would probably appreciate a biblical fiction.
Wow. You know, I think that this is amazing. I think that this is great. You know, to take a biblical story and to continue it. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people don't continue these. Why did you do this? I mean, what was the motive behind you going after it like this?
Well, I think it was, at least from my perspective, it was, you know, taking two characters, so the past character, and then, you know, the modern day character centers around a family that's in distress, an estranged family. So you have, you know, two people, the main characters, that are broken. And, you know, this special artifact, this miraculous thing that's found, in the present day, is the catalyst for, you know, helping to bring healing within this family, as well as, you know, the characters in the past, the Moabite Raider and the woman he loves. Yeah. So it's really a story of of healing, of, mm-hmm, you know, the deep wounds that we can suffer as humans, and that doesn't change from the past to the present. And, you know, the kinds of sacrifices and challenges that are needed in order to bring restoration. And sometimes, you know, what's needed is a miraculous, even angelic intervention.
Yeah.
So we kind of come to the end of our own abilities, what we can do to heal a situation or a relationship. And we're so broken ourselves that to go, to bring, you know, resolution or healing is just impossible. So sometimes we need to reach a little farther into the supernatural to find that restoration.
I agree. I definitely agree. We definitely need that. Wow. I hear, Tara, that you are doing a play or your latest musical is relating to the life of Jane Austen. Now, I absolutely love Jane Austen's books. Okay. Especially Pride and Prejudice. I don't know.
That's right.
I just kind of got engulfed in that one, especially with all the movies that came out. And now a musical. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so I've been a longtime fan of Pride and Prejudice, especially, and Jane Austen. Just kind of the further I get into this world of her stories, the more I want to stay. And mm-hmm. so about 10 years ago, I started thinking of Pride and Prejudice in terms of a musical. And there are musical versions out there, but mine is kind of different. And I guess the main reason I wanted to write, well, I'll put it this way. Writing is a way of understanding myself and the society that I'm reading about. Mm-hmm. And so it was more of a personal exploration. And, you know, musical theater has been in my family since I was very young. My dad and my mom were both involved in theater. Mm-hmm. And my earliest memories are, some of my earliest memories are listening to musical theater records. And so I think developing Pride and Prejudice, which I love, into a genre that I love was just a natural step in that direction. So I started working on the musical about 10 years ago. And within the last year and a half, I've been able to collaborate with a wonderful musician. His name is Chris Tilley. And he's local to where I am in High Point, North Carolina. And we just started collaborating on the arrangements, musical arrangements, and it's really just kind of taken off. So we've had a couple of local stagings, and then the next step is to kind of get it on its feet for a fully realized production, which I'm hoping to do in 2025, as that is the 250th anniversary of Jane Austen's birth.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about it, and you know, like I said, theater is kind of deep in my blood and a genre that I'm most comfortable in. But writing has been something that I've always enjoyed, creating new worlds. And, you know, of course, theater is the perfect place to fulfill that dream. So
definitely, definitely. Tara, and of course, Richard, have you guys thought about doing the book, The Bone of Elijah, as a play?
The Book of Elisha?
Yeah,
The Bone of Elijah as a play?
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought about it. It seems to lend itself very well to cinematic or television miniseries style adaptation. I think that would be the direction that makes the most sense to me. But, you know, you never know.
Wow. I mean, what would it be like for you, Richard, if your daughter made it into a play? What would that do for you?
Well, I am for my daughter. And she is really good.
That is good. That is a wonderful thing. I hope that this does very well for you. You know, if you could say, either one of you, it doesn't matter, or both, if you could say, this is what this book is and this is what it would do for you by reading it. I know it's inspirational because, of course, the story of Elijah is inspirational. But the continuation of it, probably even more so, what would you tell the reader if they read this? What would they get from this?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
I said, what would the reader get from reading the book?
Well, the idea is that there is life in the bone of Elisha, the bones of Elisha. They raised a dead person to life. So the idea is that the pages of the book would kind of inspire life.
Mm, that's wonderful. And Tara?
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. The Bible stories are full of great truths, and there's a reason, you know, they stuck around so long. There's much to be learned from the stories of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this one little passage of scripture about this you know, this story, I think has great potential for restoration, for healing. And I think that God's heart is to bring about those things for all of his children.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I want to thank both of you guys for being on the show. Is there anything that we missed today that you'd like to say?
Yeah, I'm not going to get a hold of a copy of the book.
Ooh. Well, people can get the book on Amazon. I'm going to put the link in the description box below so that you could, it could be easy for them to go and get it. And I also put it in the Yaya Diamond Book Club store so they can get it there as well.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh,
thank
anytime.
You so much.
Anytime. So is it Tara or Tara? I know. I
Tara.
I quote your names again. I speak.
No worries.
Just the it's English and Spanish. So in Spanish is Tara. In English is Tara. Like in Spanish is Elisha. And in English is Elijah. So yeah, it's different. Yeah, two different pronunciations. Same thing. Same thing. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. I appreciate it. Again, we're gonna have that link to the book in the description box wherever you may be watching or listening today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Don't forget to dare to be different. And until next time, guys. Bye.